Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. And it's the background to this is that the people have gathered, they've experienced the Holy Spirit at work. And in their lives, in their fellowship, in their church, in the early church, we see this great sense of God at work in their midst. So reading from Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. May God indeed inspire us and thrill us with the truth and with the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives as individuals and as a church family. Just as we come to look at God's word, let's just pause for a minute and ask that God might indeed help us to understand his word. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, Lord, we thank you that your word is not just a historical account. It's not just words that are written thousands of years ago. But your word is living and true. And Lord, just as you worked in the early church, Lord, so you can work in the church today. Father, as we've seen how the Holy Spirit was at work, how many came to faith and believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that is our longing and desire, that we might be such a people that others are drawn to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus, who are compelled to consider the love, the grace that you offer them. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to your word now, Lord, that you would just bless us. For we ask these things now in Christ's powerful and precious name. Amen. As I said earlier, this is the last of this series that we're doing on a church that God can grow. And in these verses that we read today, we can see a church that is alive, a church that is growing and serving God with such a passion, that also a church in whom we see God working mightily and powerfully. The church was being used by the Lord to impact those round about them, those who heard the preaching, those who heard the message of the gospel. And God was at work there. I'm sure that, well, that's my prayer for Logan Presbyterian Church. And I'm sure that it's your prayer also, that we might be such a church, such a body of believers in the Lord Jesus, that God can work so powerfully. In these few verses that we read from Acts chapter 2, we see something of the characteristics of the life of a true Christian community. These verses reveal, I suppose, certain marks that can identify or can be seen in true Christian churches. In churches where the Lord Jesus is glorified. And there are also characteristics that are often missing in dying churches. In churches where people have moved away from being the people that God can use. So this morning, I'd like us just to spend a little bit of time just looking at what these characteristics are, and also seeking that we might actually see them, these characteristics in us as a church, and how we might indeed grow to be such a people. So first of all, we see the attitude of these early Christians. They are practicing believers. They not only believe, but they're in action. Their faith is in action. They live out what they say they believe. They're devoted to spiritual growth, fellowship, worship, and prayer. You know, true love and care doesn't arise out of a sense of duty or because we have to. It arises out of our faith in Christ as a living expression of our faith and how Christ is at work in us. You know, so often we, I suppose, the world, people think that to be a Christian means to attend church and follow rules, follow the commandments, do this and don't do that. As if it's a sort of mechanical thing. But the true reality of being a Christian, being Christ's person, Christian, is that our faith and our love for the Lord Jesus actually undergirds everything that we do. We're told that for these early Christians, one of the things that marked them out was that they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I'm sure you've all picked up on this. These are all spiritual acts for spiritual growth. What stood in their heart was this desire, this need to actually grow in their faith, to grow in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The word continually, they continually devoted themselves, is important. The word continually, it's actually two words. It means towards. And the second part is to show steadfast strength. In other words, it means to continue to do something with intense effort, with the possible implication of despite difficulty. In other words, it's continually just doesn't mean that we repeat it time after time after time. It actually takes determination and effort. That's what this Greek word, proskatereo, actually suggests. That it takes a determination, that in all possibility it's despite difficulty, obstructions in the way. These early Christians were continually devoted to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching was important because remember that there were 3,000 new converts, 3,000 people believed in the Lord Jesus all at once. I suppose that would be any minister's dream, to have 3,000 people added to the church in one go. But it's also would be a church's nightmare in a sense. How do you actually teach and how do you help these early Christians grow? To keep them attuned? Well, we see that for these early Christians, they were sought to grow by being devoted to the apostles' teaching. The apostles were being faithful in preaching and teaching and revealing the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to help people to grow in their faith. You know, it's something that so often people, I suppose, struggle with, is having to sit through a sermon, especially if the sermon goes on a bit long. But you know, when we're feeling like that, sometimes we should actually pull ourselves up and think, is my attitude really right? Because we should be seeking to grow in our faith, in our knowledge of who Jesus is. That we should be continually devoting ourselves to seeing God, to understanding God's grace to us. Yet so often we do struggle. We struggle with listening to the minister's teaching, or we struggle with reading God's word, or perhaps we struggle with perhaps Bible study. How is it that we seek to grow in our faith? Well, for these early Christians, they sought to grow by being devoted. Paul wrote to a couple of his young pupils, Timothy and Titus, and you find that Paul emphasizes the need for them to actually hold on to actually treasure sound doctrine. In other words, And that word doctrine often we think, oh, it's all about really deep and really hard things to understand. But what doctrine is just what we believe about God, who God is, about God's grace to us, about who the Lord Jesus is, about the gospel. And you know, sound doctrine is important because if we don't understand who God is, then our faith cannot grow. It's on shaky ground. So it's important that we devote ourselves continually to growing through God's word. Moving on. We're also to be find that these early Christians were devoted to fellowship, to actually gathering together for corporate worship. Now, so often is sometimes a case that people struggle to actually motivate themselves to come to church. I'm sure that for all of us, there's occasions that we perhaps wake up and think, oh, I could just spend the morning in bed, or I could do this, or I could do that. Any excuse. But, you know, being together is important. Because the preaching of God's word, the preaching of God's word should result in worship, in that it should bring us to an encounter with God Himself, which is the heart of true worship. The natural result of us growing in our faith is that we should delight in actually gathering together, in worshiping God, in sharing the Lord's Supper. We're told that these early convicts were believers that they continually devoted themselves to the Lord's Supper, to the breaking of bread. It was an important, significant act for them, and we'll be celebrating communion just shortly. Next month. It's something that should be an encouragement to us in our worship. Reminds us how we are reconciled to God. We're also devoted to prayer. They're continually devoting themselves to, and it literally says, the prayers. Not just to prayer, but to the prayers. In the original Greek, it is plural, and it's definite. In other words, it's to times of corporate prayer, times when the church meets, whether in a large meeting or in a house meeting, whether it's one or two that are gathered, they are continually devoted to prayer. Often, it's where the church today really falls down, because often the prayer meeting in the church is the least popular. It's the one that's least well attended. And it's one of the things that we want to see growing here, is that sort of sense of devotion and joy to prayer. Watch this space. And also they were devoted to sharing together, sharing with joy. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Their lives were marked with joy because of the fellowship that they had because of their sense of unity, because they were sharing together and they were united in Christ. They were praising God. In verse 47 it says, and again, the way it's expressed, praising God, it was a continual thing, but it was an ongoing thing. It marked every time that they got together, they were praising God. It wasn't just a case that they were coming along and going through the motions and then leaving. But for them, every time that they got together, they were conscious of God's presence and they were conscious of praising God together. When we're conscious of that as a church family, that when we get together, Jesus is in the midst of us. Remember Jesus' promise? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there shall I be in the midst of them. Jesus is here now. And that should give us a real sense of rejoicing and joy. And again, that should change our attitude to church and to gathering together as the body of Christ. The only way to develop that kind of constant joy and praise is to deliberately focus our minds on God, to know that God is present with us. Thus, the first mark of this church was that it was a caring church. The effect was seen. This is our second point. The effect was that they were practical believers. They had a mutual concern, a care and a charity. They were giving and receiving. We're told that they were continually devoting themselves to the fellowship. The word that's used in the Greek for fellowship, I'm sure that you've heard it before, is the word koinonia. Koinonia means to share in common. But more than that, it's what is shared in common as a basis of fellowship. What is it that we share in common? What is it that stands at the heart of our fellowship? It's that sense of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ actually being powerfully present and at work in our midst. When we share together, we share in partnership, we share as a community, we share as a body of believers in the Lord Jesus. And that's important. Being devoted to the fellowship is a commitment to being joined together, to being built together with those who love the Lord Jesus. It's about relationship. Just this, we see how this actually has an effect in terms of their love and care for each other. Their love and care wasn't just a cursory thing that happened on a Sunday. They continually met together. They continually shared together. That their care was a practical thing. That true love and care doesn't arise out of a sense of duty or because we have to. It arises out of our faith in Christ as a living expression of our faith and how Christ is at work in us. As Paul tells Timothy, all of us are exhorted to be generous and ready to share with those in need. As Christ people together, we should be actually seeking to meet each other's needs, to actually be concerned about each other, not just in thought, but in actual practice, in the way that we live. But also Scripture does caution us that we are not to share with the lazy or irresponsible person who refuses to work. Paul says that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 12, that as Christ people, that in sharing together, that in having things in common, that we are to seek to actually allow the love of Christ to be powerfully seen. According to the Bible, there is only one body. We've seen that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And the members of that body being one are responsible to look after the needs of the body. Again, we've saw that over the past weeks. When we practice mutual love and concern, we are literally fulfilling the law of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says that in Galatians chapter 6. This is the calling card. This is what should identify us in our faith and life. The world may forget our messages, our sermons, our doctrine, even our names and faces. But you know, there's when the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is given in a real way, it's often remembered far longer than our words, because it's practical, because it meets people's needs. William Shakespeare even said that. He said, "They do not truly love who do not show their love." It's as we show our love, as we live out our faith, as we live out our common fellowship together, that people see the power of God at work, the loving things that are done in Christ's name. And the result, finally, is that we are praising believers. You see that in verses 46 and 47. We're told that there's a unity in these early Christians, early church, a unity in practice, in spirit, and in reputation. The result, as we see, is that they are blessed with peace because the Lord Jesus is present with them. If you notice, one of the things that is so radically different from sort of the church today, also in some of the New Testament churches, this early church where the power of the Holy Spirit is at work, where there's that presence and love of the Lord Jesus, that there was peace, that there was unity. These were people who were complaining and whinging. There wasn't infighting. They were engaged in the practice of praising the Lord Jesus Christ. God's church is to be a united church, and unity can be difficult. But when our center is in the Lord Jesus, we find the unity that enables us to actually live in peace, to proclaim the peace of the Lord Jesus. He also blessed these early believers with his presence, with power. God was at work in their midst with through the Holy Spirit. And it was so evidently and powerfully seen that God was at work in them as a church. So much so that the result was that they were blessed in their reputation. We're told that their community, those round about them, were astounded. Also that they were affected by just witnessing these early Christians. The reason was this church was a place where God was powerfully at work. The Lord was speaking through them. The Lord was uniting them. And in their common fellowship together, that people powerfully saw God at work. There's an Asian historian called Tertullian who described the early Christians, and he said, "See," said they, "how they love one another and are ready to lay down their lives for each other. See how they love one another and are ready to lay down their lives for each other." That was the description of the early Christians, the early church, where the Lord Jesus stood at their heart. As people look at us, is that what they say about us? See how they love one another. See how they're ready to even lay down their lives for each other. You know, no church is perfect. No church doesn't have issues or problems. But you know, as a church, as Logan Presbyterian Church, we should be a church that seeks to glorify God, to enjoy his presence, to see the Holy Spirit at work in our midst, that we should be continually devoting ourselves to learning together, to loving each other, to fellowshipping together, to reaching out to those round about us with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You know, as a church, our prayer should be that God might be able to grow us as individuals, as believers in the Lord Jesus, as a fellowship, as part of the body of Christ. Pray that that indeed is our attitude. Our church will only grow in relation to God's ability to bless and work amongst us. So as we submit ourselves, as we enjoy God, as God is at work in us through the Lord Jesus, that God will grow us as a church, as a body of believers. May God indeed grow us together. May grow us to his glory. And may we enjoy his presence amongst us. Amen.